This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
We're super grateful for the gospel, for Journey Church, for everything that we have been able to be part of. We do want to be kind of a militant group here, a training place where we train. There's a lot of people here that are involved in helping people and mentoring people in different aspects of the community. And just really appreciate you guys that are really after it. We want to be a strong supplement to what you're doing and to kind of add to, you know, your experience as well, to rub shoulders with people that are doing that kind of stuff. We just want to really be after this stuff, and we want to speak really straight to the issues that we deal with. You know, I grew up in a home of addiction, learned addiction from a very young age, learned how to use needles from my own father and all the things that kind of lifestyle is about. I learned very early, learned to cope with life through using drugs and other behaviors. You know, I did come to Alaska when I was 22, I believe I was 22, and already had been in jail for a year and experienced divorce and loss and already had a felony, you know, all these things, and really didn't have any tools whatsoever. And I know that, you know, I would go on these meth runs and would use these drugs, and it would be a great time of escape. And I do remember a time when I ran off into North Pole. It was just covered with sweat, and I'd been up for days on meth. And I remember I found myself in the middle of the night, like running from shadows and people and things, and finding myself in a box where I found some kind of, I was hiding, you know, and found this hiding place in a box. And I remember just curling up in there. He's talking about me being in a fetal position. And I just pouring with sweat and hiding in this place and staring at the little cracks of light and what could be out there and what I thought was out there, what I was sure was going on around me. And just the madness of that life. I lived for most of my life. And I remember when I finally got the courage to come out of the box, I remember coming out of there and the light from the day and the bright sun hitting me completely shocked me, as I had no idea I had been in there that long. And I was completely dehydrated, pouring sweat, and there was people around, and they're like, you know, what is this guy, you know? And I just walked right by them like a cockroach, like this creature of shame. And I just want you to know that I know that world, and there's many people here that know that world, that I have been places so many people never come out of or recover from, and I know that life, and there are people here that know that life. And I want you to know that's why when we speak of the power of the gospel, I'm not coming at it in a religious way, like a TV preacher or whatever. I don't have enough hair for that. But I want you to know I'm coming at it in a way that if I don't understand what reality is and find out what's really going on, how that really works, you know, I am not going to make it very long. And so we come right at things in a straightforward way. And there is a spirit man inside this body right now. There is a spirit man, and I want to be led by that spirit man. That spirit man happens to be one with Jesus Christ, one with him in family, in the DNA, in all that I am. The spirit man that lives in me is a son of God, and I want to be led by that spirit man. And in you is a spirit, woman or man, and that inner man, it's so important, like Pastor Derek was saying, to pray and to really get that unction of what God wants you to do in future. If he wants you to come with us and go to this, you know, this place and continue training and keep going after it, bringing people, influencing people, going to training yourself, and whatever it is, that's the most important thing, is to be led by the Spirit. And that's what we really want to do. Let me start off here really quick by reading to you, and I am going to speak in the Spirit here. This is in the Spirit. I asked Joe McBride what the word of the night was, and she said spiritual blessings. And I just got chills because she had no idea what I was going to read up here, and that is very much the theme of what we're talking about. And so right now, if you laid that body down on the ground and gave up the ghost, that spirit man would lift out of your body and there would be a reality that I want to speak to you right now that's true of you and it's true of me. It says, how blessed is God? Okay, who's blessed? God. And what a blessing he is. Who is he? He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Did that already lose you or what? I mean, that's pretty lofty already, okay? It says, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had you in his mind, and he had settled on you as the focus of his love. To be made whole and holy, how are you to be made whole and holy? By his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt you into his family through Jesus. It says what pleasure he took in planning this. Can you see that? The pleasure God took in planning all this. He wanted you to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. And because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, you're a free person. Free of penalties, punishments, chalked up by all your misdeeds, and not just barely free, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided everything you could possibly need, letting you in on the plans he took such delight in making. There it is again. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together, summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that you find out who you are and what you're living for. Long before you first heard of Christ and got your hopes up, guess what, guys? He had his eye on you. He had designs on you for glorious living, part of an overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, found yourself home free. Guys, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. And this signet from God is the first installment on what's coming. It's a reminder that you're going to get everything God has planned for you, a praising and glorious life. And that's why when I first heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus, your outpouring of love to all Christians, I could hardly stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning, knowing him personally, your eyes focused, clear, so you can see exactly what he's calling you to do, to grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength, guys. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death, set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything, guys, from galaxies to governments. No name, no power, exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, forever. He's in charge of it all. Has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not the peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. He's going to do anything he's going to do. He's going to do it. We're going to be in on it. We're going to be part of it. We're going to be the center of what he's doing, guys. This is spiritual. This tells us the location and how the blessings, where they are, how they work. I mean, this is glorious stuff. I don't know about you, but sometimes a helicopter ride over something so majestic does more for me than going through the weeds and going around every bush and plant. I love doing the helicopter ride of Ephesians. I walk through my house reading this at times, and Glenn will be doing the dishes, and she'll just start getting all excited about it, and it's pretty cool. I don't know. This is radically different, guys. I don't know about you, but for me and what I told you about me, where I'm coming from, the things I've experienced, you know, the way I was trained to live, the way I lived, this is radically different than any way I've ever seen myself, ever. And I want you to know this was radically different than any way the people that he wrote this to ever saw their situation and ever saw their relationship with God, ever. This was radical stuff. They were all used to the over 600 laws around the Ten Commandments to make sure they didn't break any Ten Commandments. They put over 600 laws around it to make sure they wouldn't violate. And so the whole focus was on their own performance, watching their every step, their every thought, every move they made, everything they did was rules and laws, very careful observance, and it was all a focus on self. This is completely the radical opposite focus of anything they had ever experienced. And this is why Jesus said, and they said when they came on the scene, you better repent. You better change the way you're thinking about how you relate to God and how you relate to people, because this is radically different. And it is. Is that not radically different or what in its focus? This, I don't know, will help almost anybody, those who believe, to escape the pull of gravity of your childhood, the pull of gravity of the world system that's in place, trying its all it can to get us to chase what it thinks we need to be okay. It always has a plan. You know, always more. It's always to be more, to do more, to have more. It's always something that we need to chase down to be okay. Where this is completely the opposite. And Paul does in this passage what he does in almost every single passage he writes in the New Testament. And that is, he focuses in on what God has done for you, what he's provided, who he's made you to be, before he then tells you how to live it out. See, there's a cart and there's a horse. We got to get it right, right? There's the milk of the word, and then there's the meat of the word. And Peter tells us to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow. You know, little babies need what? They need milk. And we just drank a big old glass in that chapter of milk. All God's provided, his love, his acceptance, his forgiveness, his gift giving, his provision, who he is, his celebration, a big old glass of milk. The milk of the word is all God has done for us. And the meat of the word is all God is going to do through you as you believe what he's done, who you really are. It's a big difference than what I'm used to hearing when I was introduced to this in the first place. I talk a lot about personal worth, about needs. This has been like our mission and our call to talk about this. Okay, my body here, this skinny little body, has needs. And that is like air, food, water, energy drinks, cheesecake. No, I'm kidding. This body here has physical needs if I want to live. And the person that lives in here has personal needs. And if I want to live, they got to be met. And those personal needs are love. I need it. Little babies, if you don't love them, what happens? You know, they know this. They need to be embraced. They need acceptance. They need that open embrace. You know, we may be adults. We still need it. We need it to live. We need to be forgiven. We can knock over something and it's not forever held against us. We need to be able to walk in forgiveness. We need to know that I matter. I'm important. You know, watch my little grandkids. Watch me, Pap. Watch me. And they jump off the couch for the 1,000,000th time, right? Why do they want me to see what they're doing? Because they want to, hey, tell me I matter. Like, show me I matter. What I do matters. Watch me. See me. Look at me. You know, they want to know we need this stuff. I need security, and I need significance, And if you squish all that together, it comes to one word, and that is a word, worth. Worth. We all need it, and we talk about it here. And when we feel like we are worth less, kind of like what Amy West was talking about in that interview last week. That was awesome job, by the way, Amy West. She's here. Yeah, that was good. That was awesome. Personal worth and the things she experienced and how it affected her worth as a person. When we believe we are worth less for whatever reason and that we need something outside of this, we go into what I call the trance. When I start feeling like I need chemicals or I need something else or I need another experience, I need to alter myself in some way, or I need a relationship, or I need a car or a certain job, a job title or whatever, I go into a trance of some way, and I'm not living in reality anymore. And I'm not talking about the biology, you know, I'm not talking about like chemical imbalance or a diabetic or things that, you know, we need physically. Obviously, we're whole persons. I'm a physical person, I'm a soulical person, I'm a spiritual person. And obviously, I need some common sense there where I need to go to a doctor sometimes and I need some things. But I'm talking about going into a trance when I'm talking about personal worth, okay? When I know that I am personally okay, the idea of my worth is settled. The issue of my worth is settled. I'm secure in the love of God. I'm significant in His plan. It's like a feel good. It's this, I'm okay. When I experience that, my brain actually switches gears, and they know this by study, and it actually goes into a different mode of exploration and adventure and a boldness and a joy, because I'm okay, now I can explore and I can do things out of a sense of joy, and having been rescued, now I can go help other people. But if I'm not okay, I can't really love on you or focus on you because I still need to be okay. And so the focus changes completely and my brain chemistry changes, and all of us kind of go into our own coping mechanisms and strategies when we go into that mode of I'm not okay. And so that's why it's so important we read a passage like that. So powerful to read what we just opened up with. You know, I can't get enough of that. And to know how God has made us okay. You know, we have here in the scriptures, I know there's a lot of people here with intense training in the scriptures, and there's some people here without a lot of training in the scriptures, so I like to try to speak to both in some way, but it's broken up into two parts. God's covenant with Israel, His agreement or His contract with Israel as a nation, and God's contract or agreement with the world. And it's very different to see that. Old Testament, New Testament actually means old blood covenant, new blood covenant. It's a blood covenant. The most powerful and potent and serious agreement or contract that can be formed is a blood covenant contract. I mean, just by the sound of it, sounds pretty scary to me. But there's the old blood covenant or old contract, old agreement, old deal, right? And the new contract or new agreement or the new deal is the joining of two parties where two parties become one. That's the covenant. That's the agreement. And did you guys know that in Old Testament times, they used to actually take a heifer, like a big cow, right? And they would cut it right down the middle, right down the middle, and lay it in one half here, one half here. You know, that would be a nice job to have, right? They'd do the same with a goat, right? Cut it right down the middle. They'd have different birds, turtle, dove, well, different, all these different animals, from big animal to small, cut them right down the middle and form a hallway of blood and gore. And the two parties that were going to join, like let's say it's me and Patrick, you know, his family, my family, are going to form a blood covenant contract together. Somehow one of us would greatly benefit from it. And we would come right down that hallway and we'd walk right down the middle of that hallway to form this contract between us. And this really mirrors our wedding, right? There's a lot of blood covenant mirroring in our wedding. It's blood covenant language where they walk down the aisle, very symbolic of that. And we would meet down the end and there would be an exchange. We would exchange names. Okay? His name would be part of my name. My name would be part of his name forever, right? Forever. There would be an exchange of garments, right? Except for he's not getting my kawaii pullover. There would be an exchange of weapons, meaning I got his back, he's got my back, right? My problems are his problems, his problem are mine. My debt is his debt. His debt is my debt. We're one now. Our families, his families, one. Then there would be like a planting of a tree where they would even sprinkle blood from the animals onto the tree. Every time our family's driving by and we see that tree, we'd remember we're one. Me and you are one. We all do it in front of the community. All of you guys witness it. It's just like a wedding, right? And there would be a complete exchange of identities in that blood covenant contract. Is that crazy or what? Then there would be a cut where we would cut ourselves on our wrist or our hand and we would join. The handshake is blood covenant language. Boom. We join together, me and you, and there would be blood and there would be a scar forever. And, you know, if one day I'm running around in the woods and another tribe comes to attack me, I could hold my hand up and show them a scar and say, hey, you're not just messing with me. You're messing with him too. You mess with me, you're messing with the whole tribe. And that's some scary stuff. It's like being an American citizen. You go over to another country, you're not just messing with me, you're messing with the United States. You guys see how that works? There's power in identification. Identification is enormous. When people go to the Olympics and the guy runs up, he wins the gold medal, and we all shout, yay, right? Why am I shouting? He won the gold medal. Well, we all understand. He represents we. When he wins, we win. He just won it for us, right? So we get it. Like, we get identifying. Football teams put the jersey on. I'm identifying with that group. When they win, I win. It's just the way we operate. And blood covenant is deep identification language. And it was big back then. Well, did you guys know that God, the God of the universe, the God of creation, actually formed a blood covenant with a human being? Is that crazy? Like, to me, that's crazy. That's just mind-blowing. He actually did. Genesis 15, with a man named Abram, they actually cut the animals in half, did the whole deal, right? And you can go into the details about how God walked down the middle of it for both of them, symbolic of his future event, what he was going to do. But God actually did this with a man named Abram. And the cool part that I love is to enter this covenant, both sides have to bleed. I have to bleed. He has to bleed. We both got to bleed to enter this covenant, right? In the same way with God. How did God bleed in a blood covenant? God bled through the animals. Those animals would represent his blood in his covenant with Abraham. Well, how did Abraham bleed? Abraham bled through the rite of circumcision, and they would enter that covenant in the most intimate way, and there would be a blood covenant between God and Abram. Abram now became Abraham, incorporating God's name into his name. Did God incorporate Abraham's name? He did. He became the God of Abraham from that day forward. And so to enter into that covenant, you had to enter it through the rite of circumcision and enter into the Abraham, the covenant God made with Abraham. Now, that's some crazy stuff. In Jeremiah 31, God promises a new covenant. This is entering in the New Testament, or new blood covenant that God would make with man and himself. A brand new covenant, a brand new deal. And that would come through Jesus. Okay, I'm just kind of going a quick review over this. Because this is a great confidence builder when you say, I'm in covenant with the God of the universe. You got to know what you mean by that. You know, how deep does this run? And so in the new covenant, when you enter it by faith and embracing that, you get a brand new name. You get an exchange of names. You get a brand new identity. There's an exchange of names. There's an exchange of garments where he gives you his cloak of righteousness. He covers you with his righteousness. You wear his clothing. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but you got to turn on both sides of your brain for it to work. My left brain has to hear it, and my right brain has to see it for it to be real. And my wife and I do all kinds of things at our house where I bring out this sparkly little, you know, thing, and I cover her with this official. You know, I had to say it like that to make it the garment of the righteousness. And somehow it makes it more real when I do the voice like that. It really helps. He gives us authority where we can speak as a family member of his, right? Protection. God's concerns and cares and his heart are now mine. My problems and my issues are God's issues to deal with too. My problems are God's problems too. And that's really awesome because God really doesn't have any problems, right? There's a scar in this new covenant that Jesus holds. He can say, I'm in blood covenant with Stan Bourne, right? Guys, there was two Stan Bournes walking around on this planet. The Stan Bourne before that was hiding in the box, covered with sweat, covered with shame. And there's a Stan Bourne that became a blood covenant partner with the living God, Stan Bourne, the Son of God. Okay? That's awesome. That is awesome. There's a tree that every time you see the cross, you remember the day that you entered into the covenant with God, a covenant relationship with God. That's just unbelievable. It's amazing. Now, remember, for you to enter into that covenant, for human beings to enter into it, we both got to bleed, right? Both sides got to bleed, guys. How did God bleed in the new covenant? He bled through Jesus as he was God walking on this planet. Well, how do we bleed, guys? We bled through Jesus as he was a human being as well. He is the God-man, the covenant himself in one body. He's the blood covenant. He made a covenant with himself, and we get to be part of it. He's not going to break it, guys. He can't break it. He made it with himself. And there could not be a more powerful covenant than that. And Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, he talked about, this is the blood of the new covenant. We just did this little ritual, this reminder. When we drink of it, we enter into the new covenant bought with his blood, where you enter into the family of God. I don't know what this does for you, but it does an awful lot for me. To know that we are enmeshed, we are one with Christ. When God himself came to this planet, put his feet on this planet, when God came to this planet, did you guys know that all humanity didn't run like a freaked out herd of animals from him? Did you guys know that? When God came to this earth, they ran to him. That's how he was. That's who he is. He's a God we run to. We flock to God. We don't run from him and hide from him. This is Jesus. If you want to know how Jesus feels and how Jesus is, you got to see it in Jesus. That's who he is. It's how he feels about disease. It's how he feels about our shame. It's how he feels about our sin. It's how he feels about us in our brokenness. God is not raising a bunch of slaves. He's raising sons and daughters of God. That's what he's doing. And just like we talked about before, when Jesus said, this is how I want you to pray, our Father, right? Our Father. This is Jesus talking, our Father, okay? And Jesus said, I'm going to my Father and what? Your Father. My Father is Jesus' Father. Who is Jesus' Father? Like, do you see that? I mean, you got to see it. You got to see it. This is just, to me, this is why he calls us all brethren. We're brothers. Why? Because we have the same dad, right? We have the same dad. This is so important. This is the exchange, guys. We all have what we call an FOO, a foo, and that is a family of origin. And that's the guy I told you about, hiding in boxes and doing drugs and hurting so bad. And all I could do was think about me and how I can make myself feel better. And then there's the FOG, the family of God that I entered into. And that changes everything. It changes everything. And you got to see it. You got to know it, and you got to see it, though. And that's why I think using both sides of the brain are so important. If a person doesn't understand, I'm convinced of this, identity, who they really are. If a person doesn't understand identity and union, oneness, if we don't understand our personal needs for worth, love, acceptance, significance, we really miss out on what it means to walk this planet as a Christian. I think we miss it. I think we miss out on it completely. And know this, that even when Jesus walked on this planet, did you know that even when he walked on this planet, he was still one with God the whole time? He wants us to know how to do the same thing in the same way he did it. Now, I got this little example here. These are the real expensive props that Derek was talking about. Guys, we need more giving, or you're not going to have this high-quality stuff. You know, you can look at this, and you can see this bloom and this flower, and it's wonderful. But what you don't see is in the vase. Imagine it's got water in it, okay? What you don't see in the vase is the desperate fight for life that is unwinnable in this vase. Can't be done. Can't be done. And is it fighting? It's fighting for all it's worth to live. Can't be done. Can't be done. It can't happen in this, right? And so for me, recognizing our union with him, the need for grafting. Jesus talked his last class to his disciples before he left. The last class he had with them, he talked about the vine and the branch and the need for grafting in to himself. Apart from me, guys, you can't do it. Can't do anything. Can't do anything. You're not going to be able to live and have what you need unless you're grafted in. You guys see how it works? To be grafted in, that union relationship, that free flow of the Spirit, that I'm in him and he's in me, is the only possible way this thing's going to live in any way. And we can see that pretty clear, right? So I personally don't have the luxury to live an unaware life, to walk around unaware of what's going on in here because of what ends up happening to my life, okay? I have here, I'll just go through this really, really quick, guys. I have the trip in. I haven't done this in a while. Just kind of want to throw this out here. But you have a situation. Your situation might be relational. It might be a belief you have about, you know, looks, about your kids. It can be, the situation I like to throw in here tonight would be about being in a crowd. It's something I hear about a lot. It's something I've experienced a lot. Is, have you ever been in the middle of a big crowd and felt totally awkward and uncomfortable? So much so, you had to bail, right? You ever done that? Well, that's a good one to put in here in this trip in. I lived out this trip in. I kept it in my back pocket for I don't know how long. I would take it out. I'd go to the bathroom and look at it, go through the steps. And this thing bailed me out of so many situations. I can't hardly tell you. This is a great tool. So you have a situation. In the situation, you are displaying a behavior. Okay? So we're going this way. We're going in. Right? So in the middle of a crowd, I'm feeling awkward. Oh my goodness. I got to leave. I'm freaking out. And my behavior is I bail. I leave. Right? I remove myself. And that's a pattern I see a lot. So I'm not just behaving a certain way. Right? I'm not just being desperate. And I'm not just panicking. There's something else going on. Right? So underneath that, what am I feeling? Okay? And this is cool when you're doing this trip in to really look at this, to take your time, right? What am I feeling? Well, I'm feeling awkward. I'm feeling anxious. Now, I'm feeling like everybody's eyes are on me. I'm feeling cornered. I'm feeling panicked, right? Ah, right? That's what I'm feeling, right? But in this situation of being in the middle of a crowd, I'm not just acting this way for no reason. I'm not just feeling this way for no reason. There's something else, right? And that is here. What am I thinking? Right? This is a big one too. Right here. And this is the part where we sit down and go, right now, in the middle of freaking out, in the middle of this crowd, in the middle of the panic, what are the streaming thoughts? If you could do like a marquee that's going across, tell me the streaming thoughts. Just write them down, right? And I did this. I've done this in so many situations, right? I'm panicked. Everyone's eyes are on me. I'm out of place. I feel awkward. Everybody knows it. You know, I feel all exposed. Those are the thoughts. Well, no wonder, like, no wonder I'm feeling anxious, right? No wonder. No wonder I'm running out of the room. Right? It all makes sense. It's not really the situation. It's really what's going on here so far. And to nail down the streaming thoughts that are coming out of, but there's not just thoughts. There's something else. We're going to do this one more here. What is my belief? Right here. Is this my belief? Right? Now, I love this. Am I one with him? You know, I actually got the chance. Me and Henry, my buddy Henry, went to a men's thing that Mark had invited us to. And we didn't know it was going to be that big of an event. Like, it was called a man feed, right? And there was just hundreds and hundreds of dudes, all of them being real manly, you know, shotgun shells on the table. And, you know, it was really a man event. Well, I'm not used to being around that kind of stuff. I don't think he was either. You know, thank God we were there together. And we got to talk about this. And this is so awesome because I'm in there doing this. I'm doing the trip in. Okay, what would it be like for me to sit in the middle of this crowd, all these people, all these eyes, and believe the gospel? Like, believe. Thank you, God, I'm secure in your love. Thank you, God, I'm embraced. Thank you, God, I'm totally forgiven. I'm totally fine. I'm really important to you. Like, what would it be like? It would be like this. Wow. I'm okay. I could just sit there. What are you doing, Stan? I'm believing the gospel. I'm believing I'm a son. And I could sit in any situation. I'm totally fine. Like, that peace that comes over you. I know guys that do this so well, and I already know what they're thinking. I'm looking at them across the room going, they're believing the gospel. They're sitting there believing. Look at them, and they're just so calm and at peace. And it was a powerful thing for me and him to sit in the middle of that and talk about what does it mean right now in the middle of this to believe the gospel, that I have the free flow of the Spirit in me right now. There isn't anything else I could possibly need than right now, this moment, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Whoa. Like, wow. That's crazy. And there's something that comes over me just talking about it, right? My wife and I were looking at some therapists and watching them do some exercises, and it was so cool because they were dealing with people that have experienced amputations, right? And her dad was a double amputee, right? He had struggled with diabetes, and he also experienced this, but it was something that was going on that goes on a lot is they experienced a thing called phantom limb. And the problem with phantom limb is they would experience a painful posture of their missing limb. And the one example we watched the therapist work with was they experienced a clenched fist in the hand that wasn't even there. But they experienced it. Their fist was clenched. And they're just like, it's driving me crazy. Right? And her dad experienced the same things with his missing legs. Like, he experienced them in an awkward position and he couldn't change it. And so instead of developing these super expensive devices to try to work with the nerves, they thought, let's try something. Let's just try something. See what we can do here. And they got a mirror, right? This is a mirror here. And I know this isn't like perfect, but they took this mirror with these people and they had them hold the missing hand up, like right where it would be, right? I'm going to hold this, okay? Obviously, if I had a missing one, I couldn't hold it like that. But let's just say, okay, I don't know how they would do it. But they had them hold this up like this, and then they took their other hand, and they had it in a clenched fist so they could actually see what they were experiencing. And they got that perfect vision there, and then they would slowly open their hand, and they would see that. And they would do that over and over through these exercises. They would sit there and they would watch themselves open that hand up. And guess what? It worked. Like, it worked. Now, I think that is beautiful. Because I want you to know, a lot of us, most of us, don't experience phantom limb. We experience phantom him, phantom her, phantom abuse, phantom past, phantom situation, right? Where when we're put in a situation, we think it's that situation. We believe it. It feels like it. It must be. And our brains believe it. And we respond just like it is true. And the scripture tells us, guys, James tells us that this is like a mirror and that we reflect what? The Lord's glory. What's the Lord's glory? It's Jesus. Study it. Like, look at commentaries. What's the Lord's glory that we reflect as in a mirror? It's Jesus. In other words, when you look in here and you see who you are in this mirror, you see Jesus. What would it be like for you to actually believe that he is you as you? Right? That Jesus shows up as Stan Bourne as a son of God. What would that be like for you to believe you as a daughter of God on this planet, and that that's what God is unleashing to the world through you? You as a son or daughter, see yourself as him. He shows up as you. How humble can he be? He's showing up as you. He's showing up as me, like all me. Like, and I find out who I am when I find out who I am in him. That's how it works. I want you to know that from the foundations of the earth, you have been chosen. You have been chosen for what? To be holy. You have been chosen to be holy and without blame. Without blame. The guy that crawled under the box, pouring sweat, full of shame, he chose that guy from the foundations of the earth to be holy and without blame. How on earth, guys, could Paul say at the end of his life, like, I've run the race, right? I've fought the fight, and what awaits me is a crown. Didn't Paul, like, kill a bunch of people? How could he say he ran the race? How could he say he fought the fight, and what awaits him is a crown? Like, didn't he waste, like, 30 years of his life? Like, wasn't he a pretty much a big mess, right? Like, how could he say that? How could he say that? Is he knew who he was in Christ as a blood covenant partner in him. He knew. And I want you to know, you could say at the end of your life, guess what? I fought the fight. I ran the race. He chose me to be holy and without blame before him. You have been predestined to be adopted by God. I read it, guys. This is the truth. You could tie me up and burn me for it, but I'm telling you, I just read it. He predestined you to be adopted by God. I want you to know this. How about this, guys? In the eyes of God, you right now are glorified. The person that you are in here, that spirit man, spirit woman, right now in the eyes of God is glorified. He did it. This is different than grabbing for worth in this world that I've always done my entire life. This is radically different, guys. I want you to know that you live right now in the domain of light. That's where you live. You have citizenship in heaven. Why? Because you've been born there. Because of your birth. You were born as a son or daughter of God. I don't know. It doesn't get any better, guys. I mean, we just read in here that Jesus created the universe. He created the angels. He created the world. He created Adam and Eve. And I want you to know that right now you get to go up there where he's seated, and you get to take a seat right next to him. Here I am, seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's who I am. Wow, guys. Like, to me, this is awesome. But I have to do my little exercises. I got to see it. I got to stand in it. I got to sit there. I want you to know that most of my life as a Christian, I had half the gospel where I knew I could be forgiven of my horrible thoughts, forgiven of my sins, forgiven of how I fell short, forgiven for not reading the Bible enough, forgiven for not praying enough. And I did not realize the other half of the gospel. Not only have I been forgiven, but I've been born as a brand new person in Him. Holy and without blame, I am a saint. Saint Stan, guys. Saint Stan. How do you like that? Sounds like a cereal, right? Try a bowl of Saint Stan today. Are you believing both halves of the gospel? You've been forgiven. You're secure in His love. But do you believe that when He was raised a new life, so are you as a brand new person in covenant with Him? Okay, I'll end on this. I got to hear, I don't know how many of you heard Heidi Baker before. She's off the chain, right? She's a radical lady, okay? Not many women could pull off what she does and me buy that she's for real, right? She's way out there. She's a powerful person, right? So I say all that to say she got this turban, right? I don't know if it's a turban like the genies wear, the big thing, you know? She had one of those, right? And there was a group of people she was working with. And she was like going, guys, this turban has been prayed over and anointed. And she named all these leaders and powerful spiritual teachers and people. Like they've all prayed on it. And this is a very anointed hat. And she said, and when you put it on, and she put it on, and then she spoke these words over people, and she was able to talk in the spirit in her own situation, hear the mind of God, and then everybody's like trembling. This is an amazing person. She's very looked up to in certain spiritual circles. So she took it off. She's like, you know, I'm going to come over here, and when I put this on, you're going to hear what God wants you to do. Hear who you are, hear how to pray for your community. And then she would put it on them and they'd be like, you know, whoa, you know, I'm supposed to love my community this way. Here's how I'm supposed to pray for them. Here's what I'm supposed to do for my family. And she got to kind of go around doing this with people. And I'm like watching this, like, this is crazy, you know? Well, it was super funny because at the end she took the thing off and went, you know, this is a piece of garbage. I found it at the Salvation Army, you know. And she's like, that thing's nothing, you know. She said, what I was trying to get you guys to know and understand is that when you put this thing on in faith and you know who you are, you get your position in Him. You see the garment. You're clothed in His righteousness. You see the crown. You see the ring. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I see it. I'm here. Now I walk in prayer. Now I pray for my community, and the switch has been flipped. I know how to pray. You know, what would it be like instead of going, God, talk to me, talk to me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. What would it be like to go, thank you, God, for giving me streaming thoughts. Thank you, God, for telling me what to do. Thank you, God, for talking to me. Thank you, God, for leading me in my circumstances. I'm going where you want me to go. I'm being who you want me to be. I'm doing what you want me to do. Thank you, God. You've made me powerful in your love. You've forgiven me of everything. And now I'm powerful in the way I'm going to live my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Like, what would that be like to move in that kind of faith? And I want you to know that. That's the key to abiding in His love, His presence, the free flow of the Spirit is I want you to believe all I've done for you, all I've provided for you, I want you to believe it. I want you to walk in it. What would it be like to believe? Like right now, you're okay. Right now, He's talking to you. Like right now, you're secure in the mighty hands of God. Right now, you're a son and daughter. See, there's a big difference between reading my Bible, prayer, you know, witnessing, all these things, fasting, trying to get close to God. There's a big difference between that and out of union with Him, being already one with Him, the free flow of the Spirit of God. I read His word because I'm close to Him. I pray out of union with Him. I witness out of the life that's coming out of me. I live my life out of union, fellowship with God. can't be done in here, guys. And I want you to know the work that he has for you to do, what he's invested in you, what he's placed in you to invest in others, depends on it. It depends on your union with him, oneness with him, walking with him. It depends on it. So throughout this winter and the next few weeks and where we're going, I want you to know we're tracking along with these other groups. I'm part of an online church that I'm tracking with, and I'm doing some really cool stuff with them, and they're doing some cool stuff with us. So I'm tracking along in the book of Ephesians, and we're doing some neat stuff. So we're going to be bringing out some really neat tools and some things that we're all sharing. And so I hope you guys will join us through the winter as we do this reverse thing. It's going to be reverse of all the religious ways we normally think and the normal way we see ourselves. And I'm so excited to bring real life, real power, real presence here at the Underground. So I hope you guys like this, and I hope you guys join us through the study. It's going to be pretty powerful. So, all right, let me go ahead and pray. Father, I just pray right now that we would begin by putting our feet on what you have provided. Your lavish gift giving would cause us to celebrate. Thank you, God. You've done it. It's finished. I really am okay. I really am a brand new person. Help us walk in it. Help us put our feet on it. Help us take a big sigh like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. There's nothing I can do to earn your love. Like, what could I do to earn your love? What could be so grand and so huge that you'd finally look at me and go, well, now I love you? Nothing, nothing. You love me. Thank you. You love me because of who you are. And now because of who you made us, we can love others. Finally, we can love others in a supernatural way. Why? Because we're sons and daughters of God. I pray faith would be our movement tonight in our lives. We lay our heads on our pillows tonight. I pray in the name of the Lord, everyone in here, before they fall asleep, say, thank you, God. I'm a son of God. Thank you, God. I'm your precious, precious daughter, holy and without blame. And we go to sleep with a big smile on our face. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. And I'm grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, my precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you call me your own. And there's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love. In your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near in your arms of love.
Thank you for coming out tonight, guys. We love you all, and we'll see you next week.